There was only one other time at a national convention that I saw another person in a wheelchair at music educator conference. So that was powerful to see some representation, and yet very sad because I was always the one that college professors came back, or cooperating teachers out in the student teaching world would be like, oh, you know what? Come back when you find your passion, and maybe your passion will be becoming a special education teacher. And I'm like, seriously? No. These kids need to see disabled folks representing in all different spaces, and I can reach and do more for kids with disabilities by being a music teacher for all kids than becoming a special ed teacher.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the GoingNorthPodcast.com shop. It is going to help you have northbound direction to your own success. If you want a great inspirational quote like advance others to advance yourself, or today a reader, tomorrow a leader, heck, even some puns like pile on and always fully booked on your tote bag, mug, hoodie, heck, even a t-shirt, and many, many other items. Head over to GoingNorthPodcast.com, click on the shop tab, and cop yourself some merchandise indeed. And that's GoingNorthPodcast.com/shop. And today on the highlight reel, builder for authors known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy one of the best websites on planet Earth, going strong today like six-pack abs and counting, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. Today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, because today's wonderful guests, y'all, they are a freak. Good fellow freaking author, y'all. That's right, indeed. So they joined the business of immortality by publishing a book, indeed. And on top of that, for 19 years, they were freaking music educator, y'all. So that's right, indeed. They got to be legal, but they didn't get to drinking age. But hey, they still freaking killed it, indeed. So music educator, as well as an accessibility educator, disability activist, as well as the founder, y'all. She found something, the wonderful founder of the wonderful nonprofit organization known as Above and Beyond with You. So let's give it up for Ms. J to the U herself, the one, the only Jenna Udenberg. How you doing today, Jenna?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dom.
Woo-hoo, it's great having you here. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's like, yep. Whenever there's a good laugh between both the guests and those, it's going to be a good time once the record button hits, usually. Yep, that's right indeed. Talking about kangaroo pouches and footsies with the kangaroo, and then not having to deal with the rest of nature, Mother Nature. Even though Mother Nature's like, nope, you're not dealing with me, I'm dealing with you, buddy.
Keeping us on our toes.
There you go. There is a pun you didn't even know it. From footsies to freaking keep us on our toes. Ha ha.
I'm here for you.
That's right. So that was when you get in the kangaroo pouch barefoot, and then the toe jam shows up. It's like, ha ha, this is not the jam we were signing up for.
Definitely not. Oof.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we could use some jelly instead of this. Like, ah, it's a trap. Now, who am I kidding? It ain't about kangaroo pouches. It's about the joyful Jenna herself. So, my goodness, as with all introductions, I'm not allowed to cover everything. So, is there any cavities I may have missed about you that you love to fill in for the wonderful audience?
Yeah, a little bit about me. I became a manual wheelchair user at age 8. I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis at age 7. So, that was pretty traumatic for a little kid getting ready for school in the tub and looking down and seeing that one knee was the size of an American softball while the other little kid knee was like less than a tennis ball. So like any good little girl, I scream for my mommy because mommies make everything better. And the medical journey started with intriguing things, with some traumatic things, with some lifelong lessons, but always make me trying to find the lemonade out of the lemons and the making people laugh like we've done already tonight. So that's great. And then, like you said, led me to becoming a music educator. And when that career ended due to the pandemic and being immunocompromised, led to becoming a disability activist, founding Above and Beyond with You, a nonprofit working to increase accessibility and inclusion here on the North Shore of Minnesota and beyond. Pandemic time gave me the perfect opportunity to embrace my 2020 Bush Fellowship, which led to me becoming a self-published author and also a columnist for a local newspaper with a column called Local View from 4'2". And before you ask, Dom, yes, I actually did measure how high my eyes are from the ground, and it's literally 4'2".
I see what you did there.
I figured you'd appreciate that.
That's right, indeed. Good old 4'2". In this case, 2 eyes. There we go. So when folks say that's the DA, they're talking about Jenna. It's like, wait, there's a district attorney. No, disability advocate, y'all. That's right, indeed. Help folks get right what they tend to get wrong. And help folks.
Very true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's freaking great work that you're doing being a disability advocate. Because like that, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff about disability that folks get wrong. And not intentionally, of course, but like there's just some things where it's like, hey, it's like you got to, as the folks going through certain situations and disabilities to get their point of view on what they actually go through. So that way you can make the appropriate decisions afterwards. Because it's like, oh, yeah, let's put all this stuff out here that nobody asked for, and then it's like, oh, no one's using it. I wonder why.
Right. And then we come and say, hey, there's this need, and then they go, but we don't have any money. And it's like, yeah, because you're wasted on all the stuff that we don't need or that was okay. And now, yeah, so it's a big old system. And that's why I love Judy Heumann and how she always said, you know, we always make sure that there's all these different stakeholders at the table, but did anybody check to make sure that the table was accessible?
That's a darn good quote. Stakeholders. Yeah, the hell's a callback to the steak joke from earlier. Good times. I knew you had it in you.
We'll keep that one as an inside joke.
I guess we were recording indoors for a reason.
Exactly.
Oh, good times. Well, backtracking a bit, music educator. So what got you into music teaching? Was that something you loved as a kiddo?
Yeah. So my sisters, I have an older brother and two older sisters, and my brother was way into hunting and fishing. So I was kind of a tomboy hanging out with dad and brother doing those things. But my oldest sister played the cornet or trumpet, and my other sister played the flute. And I was definitely a tomboy, like I said, so a little girly flute was not my thing. So I definitely picked up the trumpet, and I had a sixth grade band teacher, and actually had him in seventh grade too. But in sixth grade, my right arm was fusing straight from the arthritis.
Ooh.
And he's like, well, we don't have left-handed trumpet players. And I'm a Scandinavian, stoic, northern Minnesotan person. And I'm like, you can't tell me what I can't do. So I'm going to prove you wrong. And I did. And he retired after my seventh grade year. And we got a new eighth grade band teacher. And she saw me for being a human and being a full-fledged person. I know, shocker, right? Beyond a wheelchair? No way. And so she and our other high school band director really kind of became my musical parents throughout the years. And, you know, she inspired me to become a music educator, not because of music history or music theory or all the stuff that other people get into it for, which is no shame, but it just wasn't my bag or my jam, as you would say. But I was all about making better humans, becoming a better human myself by other relationships and the relationship to music. And for me, especially during my high school and college years, that was the one place where I could excel. It wasn't about my physical prowessness, but I could match with all my other friends, and I could do great things because it was just a fun talent that I had, and it was a humbling talent because a trumpet is it's a lot of work. It's a lot of air. It's a lot of confidence building. And so you never meet a humble trumpet player. We're all a bunch of arrogant trumpet players usually. So that band teacher is now a great friend. Very honored to still have her in my life. And she helped me through some really hard times because becoming a music educator with a double degree in the early 2000s was kind of unheard of. And in all my years of going to conferences, there was only one other time at a national convention that I saw another person in a wheelchair at music educator conference. So that was powerful to see some representation, and yet very sad because I was always the one that college professors came back, or cooperating teachers out in the student teaching world would be like, oh, you know what? Come back when you find your passion, and maybe your passion will be becoming a special education teacher. And I'm like, seriously? No. These kids need to see disabled folks representing in all different spaces, and I can reach and do more for kids with disabilities by being a music teacher for all kids than becoming a special ed teacher. And those and more stories are found in my book, Within My Spokes. And yeah, hard stuff to write at times, and to really look back and see all the hard things that I have gone through and that I've come through better on the other side. And I hope that along the way, we've all learned how to become better, more kind human beings.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely, indeed. Name of the game: be a better human, not a butter human. Ha ha ha. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. This is always great to prove folks wrong too. It's like, yeah, so you can't do this thing. We can't play these musical instruments. It's like, nah, not happening. And it's like, ha ha, watch me.
Right. Until people figure out that's my mode of operandi. And then they're like, Udenberg, you can't. I'm like, oh, yes, I can. And then it's like, oh, they reverse psychology me. Darn.
Yeah,
So I did what they wanted me to do. That can't happen.
there you go. Hopefully, they don't one day show up and be like, "Oh, you can do this," and then put up a can in front of you as a bad pun. Be like, "Yep, we figured her out. Cover's blown. We figured it out. Caught her red-handed." That's right, dude. She's an author. She wrote a book. We read it red-handed. Let me stop.
Having some traumatic flitches over here from the red pen of my editor. No.
Oh man, me too. Good times. Not really. Yeah. Oh
Part of the
yeah,
process.
it's a process, all right. That's right, indeed. That's why I got to bring the pros for the cess. Right, indeed. Or the cess will turn into a cesspool.
There's enough of those we wheel and fall into at times, right?
Heck yes, right, indeed. Especially if you're lucky enough to not come out as a Loch Ness monster afterwards. It's like, yay, all right. That's right, indeed. It's like, well, this ain't the Loch Ness over here. This might be the Inner Harbor monster, I guess. Well, at least for Baltimoreans, but that's a whole other thing. But hey, it's name okay. Right, indeed. It's always great having great humans in your life that encourage you to follow a path. Indeed. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. So with that wonderful time as a music educator, did any of those skills transfer over to your current work?
During the pandemic, when I kind of was going through my identity crisis of no longer being a music educator, I was given the term accessibility educator. And it was funny that that was such an epiphany for me, like, hey, I can use my education and all the things I've learned and been doing for 19 years in just a different way. I can just be adapted. And so I think that's what helps my nonprofit and me as a community leader stand out, is because I can come up at different topics or different struggles in different ways. And I can kind of see the forest from the trees and the trees through the forest. So sometimes that is a benefit, but then also when I put my, lived experience as a disabled person for 38 years now, it can sometimes be a challenge because my lived life is always 4 steps ahead. Like I already have to know what my Saturday looks like and who's going to be around to help with whatever supports I need. And then I'm already, 3 weeks down the road of, on this specific date to get to this appointment or to get to this experience or this meeting or whatever. So in my early teaching career at a parochial school, I had a great conversation with one of the sisters, and she had another sister who was disabled, and she was actually the one that opened my eyes to that part of me that's just different because of the lived experience. And she's like, you have to be so organized and you have to, already be problem solving for things that haven't even happened yet because you're going to get caught and you can't be unsafe and you can't be harmed. So you have to be always alert and always problem solving and always thinking ahead. And so that revelation just really helped me go, this can be something that I can use and it can be a skill, but sometimes it can come across to others as, like I'm trying to be a know-it-all or any of those kinds of things, which is so not my personality type. And that's not, any of the ways that I ever want to come across. But until people work with me for a while and then go, oh, yeah, we should run this through Jenna's weird little way of like thinking 4 steps ahead and let's see what things come out. And then we can like not fall into pit holes, or we go, nope, that's too much overthinking and we can't, we can't handle that. So there's just interesting things that we learn about ourselves, right? All of us have strengths and weaknesses. All of us have needs. There's nothing special about any of our needs. So that's kind of a shout out to like, please stop using some of those words, or at least I don't identify with those words. Just like everybody is always like saying the word handicapped. And sometimes that comes out of my mouth too when I think of, especially when I'm talking about parking, and I'm like, the parking is not handicapped and it's not a golfing term and I'm not a golfing term. So that's why I prefer the word disability for myself. And that's why in, a lot of my stuff that I share, that disability is not a bad word. It's gotten a really bad rap and it's got a bad connotation and script out there. But a lot of disability culture and community is trying to flip that script because with 24 to 29% of the American population identifying as disabled, that is a huge number. And that means that every life in America and around the world is impacted by disability in some way, shape, or form. And you can acquire a disability at any time. So the disability population is the most diverse minority group that there is because, again, you can acquire your disability through any accident, any medical condition, really anything. And so we're the most welcoming population and community there is. So it's really cool, and we make a beautiful tapestry of our abilities and our different ways of looking at life and living through life and being able to teach each other and learn from each other.
Sweet to be able to teach and learn from each other, indeed. You love to see the days, right? Days, right? Indeed. So disability is a good word to use, but avoid using the word handicap, it sounds like, unless it's a parking space.
Or unless you're out on the greens, even for parking spaces, you can say they're accessible parking spaces.
Gotcha, indeed. Gotcha, indeed. Because, yeah, we're in this weird era of language where it's like, 10, 15, 20 years ago, say one thing, no one bats an eye. Now it's like, oh, that is so freaking out of line, buddy. It's like, oh, crap. All right. It's like, okay, what do I say without
Yep.
getting burned at the stake here
Yep.
and not being
And
held too?
right. And usually there's tons of grace, right? And that's why it's just always great to ask questions of, how do you refer to yourself or, whatever. And that's really a new thing for folks, I would say, in rural Minnesota. So it's always kind of hard to flex that muscle of being able to use new vocabulary because we're just always not sure. But sometimes by not asking the questions, then we're deferring to assumptions and to things that are even more hurtful in the long run. And a lot of times, at least in my past, I've never had the words of like what those feelings are or what you just know it doesn't feel good. It feels ishy. It feels not Right. And then years later, hindsight's 20/20, right? And then you're like, oh, that's why, because that's a golf term. And then everybody would like, yeah, it was just confusing as a kid.
Ah, there we go indeed. There we go. So we gotta find the golf pencils too while we're at it, I guess, for no reason.
But then you can't erase your mistakes with golf pencils, man.
Darn.
It
It's kind of funny now to think about it. It just took me this time. It's like, hey, they see hindsight is 20/20, but it's like, well, it's kind of true in more ways than one now because 2020 was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's a kick in the head, isn't it?
Yep, it's like you wake up and then you get drop kicked and elbowed in the chest, you fall out unconscious, and you come to, and it's like, oh man, it's crazy. You saw this thing out here where it's a pandemic, people are dying. What's going on? It's like, oh crap, what the heck happened? Why does it say 2025 on my phone?
Exactly. And then if you're around my generation, when we had the weekly readers in elementary school, we should have been flying cars on the interstates by like 2020. So we're a little behind from the good old weekly reader days.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, all right, cool. So we got the TV on the TV part semi right via Zoom and Skype and everything. But the flying car is like, they're not flying yet, but they can be powered by a battery and they can drive themselves. But it's like, I don't think I want to trust a computer driving me.
Oh, not unless you really have to, but definitely not the flying part. No way.
Oh yeah, it's like crap on the ground. It's like, still dangerous, but you still have a chance. In the air, it's like, oh crap, if the landing's bad, then well.
Hey, snowing,
Next.
yeah.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. But hey, name of the game, speaking of knowing you have a whole bunch of knowledge that you're able to put together into this wonderful book and become a published author. So what inspires you to become an author?
Well, since a young age, a lot of my medical providers were always like, Jenna, you need to write a book. Like all the stories you have just from the medical world, let alone like lived experience. And, you've got just a funny way of telling stories, but yet they like zing us to the heart to, like make us think more. And, I thought it was just platitudes and, all the things. Like, sure, maybe someday I'll write a book. Well, then when you're stuck at home and more isolated than you typically are, like what else does someone do? So I was intrigued by a self-publishing company. So part of my 2020 Bush Fellowship was used to do the training of becoming a published author and kind of more the schooling and the behind the scenes kind of work on myself before actually becoming a published author. And then yeah, it was quite the experience. I had a great coach, and she really gave me great wisdom at the beginning since it is a memoir. And she kind of knew a little bit about my life story of, write the hard parts when you got the mental and spiritual and heart capacity to revisit those hard parts of your story. And maybe when you're a little less energetic and you need that pick me up, then write about those good times of life, and that will, bring up your mood and all the things. And I still do a writing room for authors that are working on that process. And so it's just inspiring to see other authors in their journey and to be able to help by being a beta reader or, just encouragement along the way. I'm hoping that I will turn my book into an audiobook as a anniversary opportunity for this July, because the book has been out since July of 2023. And someday I'd really love to write like a children's picture book and maybe like a youth novel as well. So there's lots of different things percolating in my heart and mind about the authorship. And I write every other week for the Lake County Press. So being able to do that is also a great thing. And it's very interesting of, a memoir. They're like, oh, you can be like 40 some thousand words or 60,000 or whatever their big number is. And my editors, I was like, 600 to 700 words and go. And I'm like, wow, to choose the succinct words that you need to get your point across and inspire others to motivate to do some change or to increase what they're already doing. That it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work too.
Not just 9 to 5 either. You love to see it.
I kind of long for the 9 to 5 days some days. But this is a better, cooler adventure currently, so.
There you go. That's right indeed. Hopefully it's one of those real adventures and not one of them ventures where you venture out and then you see random ads everywhere.
Always brings me back to the choose your own adventure books that were in the library when I was a kid.
Heck yeah, still are. It's like, yep. Hundreds of copies, yo. You love to freaking see it. That's right indeed. That's right indeed.
But well, were you the kid that would cheat and go ahead and be like, oh, if I choose this, what happens? Oh, I'm gonna choose that instead. If life only came with that directory and manual, man.
Yeah, that's the thing about life. It's like the tutorial sucks. It's like 18 years long in theory, depending on your situation. And even then, it's like, well, the tutorial didn't cover everything, even though it was extra long. But it's like, these graphics are amazing, though. But, like, it's really about it. It's like, all right, time to figure it out. Do a side quest.
Yep. And they made adulting sound like it was going to be so much fun and so amazing. And then you get here and you go, what was that?
Yep. These little gremlins appear known as bills. Like, ah, like, rah. We've come to absorb your paycheck and money. That's right indeed. We've come to absorb, like, ah, get away. Ah.
Like, all right, pay. Who fed you after midnight and got you wet? Darn.
Not after midnight and got him wet. That's funny.
Gotta love the gremlins.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, my goodness, so what you learned about yourself through the whole process, because I'm pretty sure something else popped out you probably never even considered before even undertaking the book project itself.
I think it's been amazing finding my voice, because for so long I was just an introverted little girl that lived life and watched life pass me by. But being able to get out and adventure and finding some adaptive gear like the Real Mobility Firefly that can attach to the front of my wheelchair and turn it into kind of like an e-bike sort of situation for me. Being back out in creation and nature and on paved trails and gravel trails and visiting state parks, like, you know, originally I'd be like, well, what can I do there? And I'm like, yep, let's go. Anytime we can get out on the trail on a beautiful day. And more importantly, it's been the amazing new relationships and friendships that have grown and became because of the Firefly and where I see my advocacy and seeing Minnesota State Parks get track chairs and other local communities looking at trying to get some Moby mats on some of our beaches on the North Shore and even on our inland lakes and some different county and state parks. And yeah. We don't know what the journey is when we're in it, but like we said earlier, once you're kind of over it and you can look back in that self-reflection time, you can see those amazing things. And I guess that's just what powers me through the hard days and the frustration parts of the cycle of being advocates is, you know, that at some point someone else is also going to look back and go, ah, I told my story. And after I told my story, I found my voice.
Woohoo, found it. You love to see it. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Sweet. You love to see it indeed. And I guess in this case, love to hear it since you got an audiobook version planned on top of that. So my goodness, any other projects or things you got planned, folks, you look out for over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I would say, you know, following us on our social medias where you can find us out on Facebook and Insta and LinkedIn. You can also find us on our websites. We've got some plans in the process. We've got some local and state level folks that are reaching out to us to work with them, and so promoting those partnerships as they become more official will be something to keep an eye out for. We love being a conduit and sharing other people's stories, connecting people to other resources that they might need. And more importantly, we love working with people. So being able to come in and come alongside in people's journey of becoming more accessible and more inclusive is really where we're at. And we have a volunteer board of 9 folks, and we all have some kind of connection to the education world. So it's just an amazing time to be doing this work. And even though there's a lot of uncertainties out there in the world right now, I feel like we're just bracing for the storms, but more importantly, we're looking for those clouds that part and the rainbow and the sun that come through, and just keep doing the work that we know are called and meant to do.
Good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. Yeah, it's right indeed. It's right indeed. So, my goodness, so many words of encouragement or advice for, I guess, fellow disability advocates out there, maybe even aspiring disability advocates.
A great question. I would say keep being bold or be bold. Keep asking questions, especially curious ones, and reach out to those of us that are doing the work, because the whole point is that we're handing off the batons to the next generations that are coming behind us, and we're always learning from the generation that went before us. So don't be afraid to ask for help, because we all do better when we all do better, and we can't go it alone.
There you go. Better together. You'll love to see it. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. So I guess I should ask this earlier, but shoot, with terminology out there, any terms that folks should avoid when it comes to helping out fellow folks or disability advocates to help out the other folks out there who have disabilities?
Yeah, so the R word is definitely not okay. Won't even say it. Like I said earlier, the whole handicap thing. But the biggest thing is just asking folks, because we're all at different comfort levels in our journey with our disability. And some are super cool and confident, like I am most times. But sometimes life throws you curveballs. So even if you're confident in one moment or you feel like you're accepting of your disability, there can be, days change, emotions change, situations change. So the biggest thing is just asking questions. I know out there a lot of times it's about people first language, and that's cool, right? Like, especially if you're a non-disabled person talking about a person with a disability. But just knowing that for those of us that are in culture, and when we talk in culture, a lot of times we'll say disabled folks, disabled people. So for those of us that are in culture, we kind of flip between the two because we live in both worlds. And sometimes that's okay for non-disabled folks to do, especially if you're around disabled people and you've like explained that or you feel comfortable with it. But really, again, it's asking that person how they want to be referred to or how they refer to themselves, because it's showing respect and it's showing dignity. And there's been so much dignity that has been stripped from people with disabilities that we need to intentionally give back.
To give back, indeed. That's right, indeed. Never take anyone's dignity, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's the name of the game. Believe in good old authentic curiosity and just ask. That's right, indeed. Move
Indeed.
forward, indeed. That's right, indeed. Yeah, you're so right. There's so many things. There's so many different levels and things that folks are discovering on top of that with the whole 21st century and all the growth in future medical science that keeps on growing on top of that. As well as tools to help out folks as well. It's like, all right, cool. Hooray, more tools for more folks out there. You'll love to see it.
Yeah, and that's a great point too. Some of the terminology that we use comes from the medical world. And so there's the medical, oh, I just had the word, it went away. But you have the medical or social model when it comes to disability life. And I had never seen that myself. I can use my own personal story. During the pandemic, watching on Abilities Expo that was, moved from in person to being completely virtual. And I was watching this DJ who is a Black American man in a power chair, and he was sharing his lived experience, and he was interviewing Alice Wong, who is an Asian American person who is a ginormous disability activist, and she has several books out, so go check her out for sure. But it's interesting as they shared their story and their life and their struggles and their intersectionality of being multiply marginalized. I had just never seen that because I grew up in the medical model in a rural setting with very few disabled people, some around my age, but primarily more, around the older generations. When I saw people that were in chairs or had some medical condition, I would be like self-diagnosing like a doctor would do, right? But then when they started sharing their stories of being discriminated against because of their color, because of their orientation, because of their identities or their pronouns, or the whole onslaught of all the different things that make us a human being, I had never saw that. And that was such a pivotal moment for me to be like, whoa, I want to be more in the societal version of disability culture and community and not the medical, because I missed out on all these amazing things about people that I've known in the past because I was in that medical model. And now when I'm in the medical world and I'm advocating there for myself or for others, it's like, please see all of me. Please don't make assumptions because I've been quote unquote sick since I was a child. Don't think that everything's based on my initial condition. Please don't believe that everything is based on me being middle-aged, right? I have older parents in their 80s, and please don't use ageism on my parents. Like, give them the best medical treatment you can give. And so there's just a lot of complexities to our lives. And so there's nothing different about that when you enter into the disability world. Actually, there's probably more to it.
Yeah, more indeed, more indeed. So my goodness, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, sometimes it's about my Lego robotics coaching and how I like didn't find Lego until I was in my 40s. So, getting at the person that's fully here. So, yeah, finding that brain break by just following the little pictures and doing what the pictures tell you when I'm constantly making decisions and telling my story. Sometimes you just need a quiet, creative activity with somebody else showing you what to do. So that's my hidden hobby of goodness.
I just can't let go of them,
Smarty pants.
huh?
You don't want to step on them and you don't want to eat them. I'll tell you that. And you don't want me to wheel on them near you because they come shooting out like little rockets and that can hurt people. So,
So it's so in the three stages of hell, eating them is the best option if you have no other choice. Gotcha.
plaster. Just make sure
There
they're multicolored. That's the best diet.
you go. It's right indeed. Get all the food groups, all the nutritional stuff. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. From the pyramid, but without the bread. Or stop.
Oh boy.
That's right indeed. Is the team still called the Robo Dweebs?
We are.
Sweet. That's right indeed. So what inspired the name?
It was a team probably about 9 years ago out of my 12 years ago. And they originally started, oh, I don't even remember the first couple of teams. I had four teams my first year, and but one of the ones that stuck was Lego Ladies. And then eventually we added some gentlemen to that team. So then it was like Lego Ladies plus two, Lego Ladies plus one. And then they're like, nope, we need to change her name. And so that group of girls at the time, with a couple boys added in, were like, hey, we're band geeks. Hey, we're choir folks. Hey, we're, all those typical names and labels that people think are not cool. And they're just like, nope, we're the Robo Dweebs and we're proud of it. And this is great. And here we go. And they've gone on to create quite a legacy of their own in our state and helping other teams get started, helping other teams be even more successful than we are at many times. But it's all about the outreach and how we grow together and how we encourage each other to be the best version of themselves. So First has a great Lego robotics program. So from all ages, from like grade kindergarten all the way through high school. And if your kids are a part of things, there's great scholarship opportunities that only exist for people that go through the first programs for college stuff and all that. So great life lessons learned along the way and amazing team building at the same time.
Woohoo! That's right. There goes that pyramid again. Team building. You love to see it. Yeah, that's right indeed. Yeah, you think we're actually think we're dweebs? Well, too bad. Let's pull out two cucumbers. Like, yeah, we're that cool. We're cooler than two cucumbers. That's right. That's right indeed. It's usually cooler than one, nah, fam. It's the coolest multiplier. We pulled out two. That's right. Because we're too cool. That's right indeed. Dweebs gave you iPhone suckers.
For sure.
That's right indeed. Make fun of the geeks and dweebs all you want. And you
They
wake
rule the
up.
world.
Exactly. You'll probably be taken back to that moment where you got drop kicked in the back of the neck and realize it's 2025 again. Except you'll be in a cave and it's like, ah, darn, it's so dark. What happened? Where's the fire at? Like, where's the light? Like, oh no. Why do I have a loincloth on? No. The dweebs took my clothes too.
I think they'd leave those for you.
No.
Can't build the robots out of clothes.
Not even the cloth about. Know what? They try to make a robot one day that's an actual robot. It'll really be a robot then. A couple of wars. Oh man, I've been jumping in all the rabbit holes today. Why? Before I open up another one, fun question for you. Fabulous book. Fabulous, fabulous book. Within My Spokes, a tapestry of pain, growth, and freedom. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh boy. That's an interesting question. Trying to be funny, but yet not. I would say it'd kind of be like the pranks I used to pull on my friends in middle school, where they thought I was the coolest kid and I could eat a crybaby or a warhead. So, in parts of my book, you're going to cry. In parts of my book, you're going to get mad as heck and you're not going to take it anymore. And really, the whole point of that was I would cheat and I would take the candy in the bathroom and I'd wash off all the bad stuff. So my friends always thought that I was had superpowers and I could handle warheads and crybabies, but nope, I was a wuss and I just cheated. And so I wanted the sweet thing in the middle.
Well, there we go. Classic Warheads candy, a first for this podcast. That's right, indeed. Except these wonderful warheads aren't washed off. They're raw. You get the real deal in full power, full regalia. Yeah, that's right, indeed. It'll be so sour. It'll be sweet. You'll be talking like the Macho Man Randy Savage. But you like Mean Gene? I'm not all there, I admit that. But hey, you gotta make a 180-degree spin and then another 360. And then realize the cream rises to the top. And then a cherry gets on top of the cream, and then you'll really be at the top.
And hopefully you still have your stem, otherwise you roll down and then you're not at the top anymore.
See, there you go. And then and then you have to find the robot again to try to roll you back up top. Let me
stop. Oh boy. Or the kangaroo to kick you back up, but
oh god, shoot. Hopefully it's a love tap and not the real tap. Oh god. Be like, ah, I feel like a couple ribs got broken. Like, oh, dang gummit. Ouch. Ouch. What happened to Kangaroo Jack Kangaroo? Huh? What about that one? Like, ah. Not the one that's swollen, went to prison and lifted weights and got swole and stocky. Like, nah. Oh, man. Oh, man. I've been lit all day today. Well, hey, who am I kidding? I'm probably gonna open like five more rabbit holes. Who am I kidding? We're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're a 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I'll be 25 in 2025. Interesting. I would tell myself that you'll make it. And the path is not going to be straight from the outsider's perspective, but you're going to do the things that you're meant to do. So just keep doing them boldly and find the right support system to help you along the way.
Woo-hoo. That's right, indeed. Get that support system, the right one. That's right, indeed. Get that real support, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Be ancient Egyptian pyramid strong. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And if it isn't even that strong, make sure it's at least Gorilla Glue strength so it can stay. Maybe even super glue. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You heard that right, folks. Indeed. Well, hey, the good news is folks got a good deal of content and some good old wisdom. But, hey, it's not even all of it. So for those who need to dive in more into all the work that you're doing and all the content you're putting out into the world and all the good you're doing in the world, and also cop copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so, Jenna?
Best way is through our website, www.aboveandbeyondwithyou.org, and the U is just my U as in Udenberg, not Y-O-U, but capital U. And you can use those same handles to find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Insta. And you can also buy the book on Amazon or through our website or anywhere you buy your books.
Woohoo! We heard that right, folks. We're going to put a link to Jenna's site. Good, y'all. So keep up. Copies of magical books, right indeed. That's right indeed. It's funny. It's like when you're telling us about the site, it's like U stands for Udenberg. It's like, ha ha. Jokes on everybody else. It's for you. No, it's for me. I'm just joshing. I'm being a silly man again. It's about you, folks. Right indeed. So if you got some relatives, family going through some stuff, check it out. Good stuff awaits indeed. Good stuff awaits indeed. And she's still just getting started. There's a whole bunch of work to be done. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because there's a big old blue planet that we're living on, y'all. And it's a whole lot of stuff to be done indeed. The name of the game is each hand, grab another hand, and, you know, getting to the top. That's right indeed. Even. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. But before I open another rabbit hole and make the neighbors mad with all these rabbit holes I've dug up in this past freaking 40 minutes, any parting words before we close up shop?
Laughter is the best medicine. So in this life, if you don't laugh, you'll probably cry. Not that crying's bad, but laughter usually gets you through it farther. So thanks for the laughter-filled interview, Dom. And thanks for promoting all the things about disability community and culture and inclusion and accessibility.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.